wondering to myself, I wonder when St. Maximilian Kolbe was ordained. And so I looked it up, and he was ordained in the year 1918 on April 28th. That's today. So perhaps he put that thought in my mind for a particular reason, but as we were in this conversation the last couple of weeks about gratitude, it seemed to be fitting to me because his first Mass, he then would have said the very next day at the Church of St. Andrea della Frat in Rome. It's a nice little church where the conversion of Alphonse Ratisbon happened. Some of you have been to that church. Every time somebody does go to Rome, I say, make sure you go and pray for us at this church. And this is a tradition, longstanding, that a priest, the day after his ordination, he'll go and offer a Mass of Thanksgiving. And that's a Mass to say thank you to everyone who's got him to this point, who's made this possible, for his parents and his teachers and his seminary professors and all the benefactors along the way. And that's what St. Maximilian Kolbe did 108 years ago tomorrow. And that's what we do every time we come to Mass. The very word Eucharist means thanksgiving. We come to offer thanks to the Lord for being so good to us. A couple weeks ago, we started that conversation with that it's necessary, it's right, it's fitting, it's deserving for us to thank the Lord. And last week, we talked about further, what are we thanking him for? Well, he saved us in a way that only he could save us. And actually, he's the only one who could save us in the way he could save us, in keeping in the order of justice, which is what I want to talk about today, because the second part of that prayer we pray, at that preface, it is right and just to give him thanks. Just to give him thanks. It falls in the order of justice. Justice is that virtue which inclines one to give to each one what is his due. So whether that's reward or punishment, it's the virtue that everyone should have what's right for them to have, what's due for them to have, based on what they've given, what they've done. We can kind of sometimes think of justice in the purely negative sense, like, oh, that guy did that, well, he's going to get what's his coming. You know, we can kind of tend towards that end. We can, you know, the movies are all about justice and taking justice into your own hands, and that's not unpart of justice. Actually, we should first realize that justice demands that we pay the price to God for how we've failed him. That's strict justice. So by strict justice, we merit eternal damnation. This is the great gift that Jesus gives us, that in justice, he says, okay, well, I know that human beings have sinned against you, Father, so I'm going to go as a human being to offer sacrifice for them. I'm going to pay their debt for them so that they don't have to go to hell. So this is the great gift, keeping in the line of justice. It wasn't just God just wiping away, we'll just say it didn't happen. It kept in the order of justice. So by justice, we deserve death. By grace, the Lord has saved us. And for this, we owe now a different type of debt, and it's the debt of eternal gratitude. That's in the order of justice, because we can't repay it, and so we have to be forever grateful. Now, there's another sort of relationship that we can never repay. No matter what we do in our life, we can never repay the debt that we owe to our parents. Because our parents have given us, I mean, even if we just looked at it from a monetary point of view, right? They can never pay you back, right, parents? But they can't repay you back for the most significant thing that you gave them, which is life itself. And furthermore, the eternal life of the waters of baptism by having them baptized. We can never pay our parents back for that. And so we stand in our disposition to our parents, not in this tyrannical sort of way, like the loan officers demanding just repayment of a loan, but in this filial gratitude and affectionate loyalty to somebody who loves us, and what they did for us, they did out of love. This is our disposition with our Heavenly Father, too. He's not up there saying, see what I did, you better pay me back. He's up there saying, this is what I did because I love you, And I hope that from the same love, your gratitude will flow back. And that's what we want to enter into, the perfect love of Father and Son, because in the Son, in Jesus, we have become sons. As of the reading last week from St. John, he says, you are now God's children. So we don't stand before him as servants or slaves, but as his friends and children. And when we're friends with somebody, when we're in deep relationship with them, we want to pay them back, even if we know that it's impossible. And it's impossible. In every way we look at it, we can't do what Jesus did. We can't pay back God for everything that he's given us. And we stand before him very much like children. We know this, you know, like it's kind of like when, you know, dad's birthday rolls around and, you know, little Billy wants to give dad a birthday present, and so mom goes shopping with Billy and, you know, uses the money from the checking account that dad put there from his job and helps Billy buy a present for dad, and then Billy goes, hey dad, look what I got you, and dad doesn't say, I bought that. That's my money. You didn't give me anything. He says, oh, that's so sweet. I'm so grateful. That was so thoughtful. Because that's flowing from a heart of love, of filial affection and devotion. And so the same way, even though we can't ever repay back our Heavenly Father for all he's given to us, nevertheless, our desire to please him and in the order of the virtue of justice demands that I try so hard in every possible way to repay him. There's a line in the Mass where we actually say that. We offer this from the gifts that you have given us. There's another line that says, don't look at my merits, don't look at what I deserve, but just grant me your pardon. And so in the very same breath as we're giving thanks to the Lord, we're recognizing that what we're giving him is himself, is itself his gift to us. Now, there was a particular way in which the Israelites lived this out. Because as we heard, St. John said today, hey, don't just love in words, speech, that's nice, but if you don't back it up with deeds, then it falls short. So how do we live out our gratitude, our justice in deeds? So the vine and the branches is a nice segue to that, because the vine was always an image of Israel. In the Old Testament, we see several images of the vine. It usually wasn't going very well for the vine. Either they were producing rotten grapes, or the stewards of the vineyard weren't giving the produce to the landowner. They were keeping it for themselves, and it's all destruction and mayhem. So Jesus actually has this twist in the gospel, and he says, I'm the true vine. I'm the real vine. I'm the faithful vine. I'm the fruitful vine. And you're branches that I've grafted onto me so that you can share the life-giving sap of this vine. And the fruit that you produce, that produce at the end of the branches, you're not responsible for that. The branches aren't responsible for the fruit. The vine is. But the fruit also doesn't belong to the branches or the vine. It belongs to the vine dresser, the Father. And so he wants us to live out what we're supposed to do as sons and daughters, as members of his body, and produce fruit, but then the fruit goes to the Father. Now, in a very practical, concrete way, the rule for Israel was your first fruits go to the Lord. That's your temple, their temple tithe. You bring your first fruits to the Lord. That helped to make sure that right worship could always be offered in the temple, that the priests and Levites had sustenance, because that was their full-time gig, and this was how Israelites functioned. But there's also a second piece of that. First fruits went to the Lord, and then there's this command, it's an interesting one, said, don't go back over your vines a second time. Don't go back over your olive trees a second time. When you harvest your field, make a wide curve. Don't go all the way to the corners. So you leave some of the wheat at the corners and the sides. You leave some of the grapes on the vine. You leave some of the olives in the tree. And that was specifically set aside for the poor. That was for the widow and the orphan and the alien, those who couldn't survive without the sustenance from others. And this too, both of these are a debt of gratitude in the order of justice. this produce is not mine. It's from the Lord. Everything he gave me is from the Lord. And so, and he wants me to have it, but to show my gratitude, I'm going to return a portion of it. The first portion, I'm going to return to him. And then the last portion, the kind of the leftovers, if you will, that also belongs to the poor. The universal donation destination of goods says that those who don't have what they need to survive, my stuff is actually their stuff. So whatever I have that's extra goes to them. And so I think that in our modern mind, we can think of this as our tithing and our almsgiving, that which we give to the Lord and that which we give to other benefactors, other people in need, other charitable organizations and that sort of thing. I think this is good to have these two in mind, both as like, this does not belong to me. Where does the Lord want it to go, and how should I use it? And that's something that the church doesn't impose. So in the Old Testament, it was 10%. There's very strict rules on what you were to give and how you were to give it. The New Testament, we never get a number. There's no 10% or this many dollars or this much or whatever. It's actually, St. Paul says, the Lord wants a cheerful giver. And so again, we don't want to be in this transactional mode like, okay, well, the Lord demands me this much, and so I have to give this much. But we want to come from this mode of relationship where I say, what is the Lord given to me, and what can I give back to him? How can I possibly repay him? What can I do to show my gratitude to him? And so we want it to flow from that heart. It's always one of these tensions in the Catholic Church where we're forced to do things that we're supposed to want to do. Like, you have to go to Mass, but Mass only makes sense for you if you actually want to be here. You have to tithe, but tithing only works for you if, like, I want to give. And so sometimes the rule, I think, is helpful because it keeps us in proximity of the thing that, okay, I know this is good, and how can I grow in understanding and recognizing its goodness in my own life? So I think this is what's been on my heart as we continue this conversation of gratitude. And just as St. Maximilian Kolbe goes and offers his Mass of Thanksgiving, we come here and we offer thanks with our words, and we want to also offer thanks with our deeds. And how can we be a community? How can we be men and women, boys and girls, of gratitude, living that out in the way that we give to the Lord? So I want to continue this conversation next week, and I have homework for you in the meantime. So this is your homework. I want you to look and note. So you probably just got did your taxes. So you'll know, well, how much I made last year, and you'll know how much you gave last year. So do the math. How much did you give to the church? How much did you tithe? But then what's the other number? How much did I give to any other charitable organizations? My almsgiving to the poor. Let's come back with those two numbers, just the percentages. I'm not concerned about dollars, just the percentages, so we can know, because that's the first place to start, just being intentional and knowing what I'm doing. But in the meantime, what we want to do is ask the Lord to increase the virtue of justice in our hearts. Because the virtue of justice isn't just, everybody should get their right due, but it's actually this desire to ensure that that happens. I want to make sure that I'm not shortchanging the Lord, because he's given so much for me. And the more that I recognize and then live that out, the more grateful I become. The more I show my dependence on the Lord, the more I realize my dependence on the Lord. The more I give to the Lord, the more he gives to me, and the more I notice it, and the more I can be grateful for it. So as we gather here today, we bring our hearts, but we also bring our temporal gifts. You know, we've begun taking up the collection in the middle of Mass again, which isn't an accidental spot. There's actually a certain fittingness to it. Because just as we're bringing our prayers to the Lord, our petitions to the Lord, we've been bringing him our, we come, we ask his mercy, we tell him our sins, we're bringing all this stuff to the Lord. We show it tangibly by what we place in the basket or what we place on our computer online and give that way. But that reminder that, oh yeah, I'm doing something here in my life that's connected to something there in the altar. And what flows from the altar isn't just spiritual gift, but it's every gift. Every gift is a gift from the Lord. How can we make a return to that? So we give thanks to the Lord because it is right and because it is just. May the Lord increase our gratitude for all he has given to us.